Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 6 of It's Funny Now, stories you're glad didn't happen to you. My name is Frank Trainer. I'm the creator and producer of the show where people tell stories that maybe were embarrassing, cringy, terrifying, shameful, disgusting, even sad sometimes when they happened, but with the help of time we can say it's funny now. Our show is recorded live at The Crow in Santa Monica, California. That's the new comedy club for Elevated Comedy in Los Angeles. It happens every second Tuesday of the month, and on this podcast you will hear the best stories to come out of that stage. On today's episode, we have me, myself, Frank Trainer, with my story, Three Things in Common with Superman.
I have three things in common with Superman. The first one is that I believe in the American way, and that's why many, many years ago I decided that I wanted to move to the United States and take a job away from an American, because that's the Latin American way.
So I wanted to use today's episode to introduce myself and tell you a little bit about who I am and what I'm doing here. As I've said before, my name is Frank Trainer. I am originally from Argentina. I moved to the United States, to Los Angeles, about 10 years ago in 2013 with my wife Martina, who is a big part of making this show happen and doing everything that we do, and she's a huge supporter of everything. We have three cats who we treat like our children, and we have two children who we treat like cats. I started doing comedy when I moved to Los Angeles almost 10 years ago, and halfway through that I transitioned to storytelling. I won at the Moth 4 times, and about a year ago I started producing It's Funny Now at The Crow because I wanted a place for people to tell these stories that you know are maybe a bad thing that happened in the past, and I wanted to be able to laugh at the past with everyone because I find that it's healing to laugh at the past. So that's why I have the show. If you want to get in touch with me, you can find me on Instagram at Frank_Trainer. That's TRAYNOR. And without further ado, here is my story, Three Things in Common with Superman.
So, I have three things in common with Superman. The first one is that I believe in the American way, and that's why many, many years ago I decided that I wanted to move to the United States and take a job away from an American, because that's the Latin American way. So, a way to do that for me was to start a job in the advertising industry as a creative, knowing that eventually I could network my way into getting a job in the US and moving here, but I had to wait a bunch of years for my first opportunity. And then it came in at the end of 2011 when my bosses came to me asking me to go to Miami for 1 week to work with all the creatives, the best creatives of all the agencies in the Latin American network, to pitch and win a huge new account with a huge international bank, like lots of money for them, not for me. And they're not asking me to go because I'm the best creative they have. No, they're asking me. It's not like somebody went to their office and they asked my bosses, hey, who could we send? And they both went, let's send Frank. And they high-fived in the air and they came to ask me, you gotta go represent us right now. And it was like a beautiful heroic moment. No, my boss came to my office, opened the door with this complete face of defeat and just went, please tell me you have a passport with a tourist visa to enter the US, because I don't know who to ask anymore. And that's how I got my opportunity to come to the US and network. But here's the thing, I can't fuck this up, which is a thing that sometimes I tend to do. We leave on a Sunday because we have to start working on a Monday, and at the airport I meet the guy that I'm traveling with. Now, he's not from my team, so I don't know this man at all. All I know is that besides both of us being advertising creatives, we're both musicians as well, mostly because he won't shut up about his band being on MTV while I tell him that my band brought like 15 people to our last concert. You know, and then I tell him that when we get to Miami, I'm going to see some friends that I have there, and he tells me that he doesn't know anyone in Miami, so I invite him to tag along, because I may not be on MTV, but at least I have friends. So we get to Miami, we check in the hotel, and then we go to my friend's house, and we hang out there, and we have a good time. And then before we leave, I remember that my friend told me that he has a Vespa scooter that I can borrow to move around Miami that week, because I have no car. And I've never ridden a motorcycle before in my life, but how hard can it be? It's a Vespa. It's pretty much an overweight bicycle, right? I mean, the best thing that could happen is that I can feel like Jennifer Coolidge and the guy from Napoleon Dynamite in White Lotus, like in Sicily, but in Miami. Isn't that great? I'm gonna look more like, instead of Peppa Pig, I'm gonna look more like Kermit the Frog, but you know, that's, I'll take it. So we leave the apartment and we go to the garage of the building, and I put the helmet on my head as a joke, because who needs a helmet to ride a Vespa scooter, a fat motorcycle, in a garage, right? So we make it to the garage, and I get on the Vespa, and my friend goes, this is pretty simple. It's like driving a car with stick. Do you know how to do that? I'm like, do I know how to drive stick? Do I know? What kind of question is that to ask? Do I know how to drive stick? So it's very simple. So you know, with the clutch, and then you put first, and then you start let going of the clutch, and you start pressing the gas, and you get going. Oh, yeah, that's simple. So I get on the thing, and I expect it to go nice and easy, like a car. And instead of that, in a second, I'm going at a million miles per hour towards a black BMW that I seriously cannot afford, and I have no insurance in this foreign country that is not mine. And I suddenly realized my friend never told me how to stop the freaking Vespa, and I don't know what to do. I have a million things around me. This is clearly not like a car. I'm not Jennifer Coolidge or the guy from Napoleon Dynamite, so the only thing that I can think of doing is jumping off, hitting this concrete pillar really hard with my head that I luckily protected with a helmet as a joke, and then I fall to the ground really hard. But again, because I'm a man, I have to hide everything that is happening to me. So I get up and I just look at my friends and I go, I'm okay. I'm not okay. I'm in a lot of pain and I can't continue living right now. So they take me back to the apartment and they tell me that I have to go to the hospital, to the ER. And my coworker is freaking the fuck out. Like the MTV guy is freaking out because he thinks if you go to the ER, the doctors are going to call the cops. Because yes, I did smoke like a couple of puffs of weed like 2 hours before riding the motorcycle. And they're gonna call the cops and we're gonna get in trouble. We're gonna get fired. And I'm like, how can you think that? Why would the fucking doctors even know that I smoke weed before doing that? Like, this guy's supposed to be smarter than me. He's more successful than me. He's been on MTV. I bet this is one of those guys that when you tell him that you like smoking weed, they're like, I don't need to smoke weed to have fun. It's fine. I don't need to have fun when I smoke weed, honestly, so don't worry about it. I bet you he's one of those guys that says, like, marijuana is a gateway to cocaine, which is bullshit. Saying that marijuana is a gateway to cocaine is like saying that biting your nails leads to cannibalism. And you'd be like, I wonder what children taste like. I bet you he says, marijuana is a gateway to cocaine, which is a stupid saying that masturbation leads to rape. I wonder what children taste like. Okay, salty is the answer. I'm sorry, this is a joke for a different type of audience, I'm realizing now. I always do it in like raunchy dive bars. I'm like, yeah, children, but not here. I'm so sorry. So I get really paranoid and I don't want my coworker, you know, to freak out any more than he is. So I tell him, you know, let's go back to the hotel. And I have to come up with a lie so that we don't get in trouble at work. And that is the second thing that I have in common with Superman. I don't know if you know this about Superman, but he and I, we can't lie. We were not born with that ability. In the comic books, in the movies, Superman cannot lie, which is why his attempt at lying when he tries to cover his identity is so bad. Like, it's I'm gonna wear some glasses and I'm gonna get a job as a reporter, yeah, and I'm going to harass a coworker into being my wife, yeah. That's bullshit. Like, the lie that I come up with right there and then on the spot, and I tell my coworker, don't worry about it, listen to me. Tomorrow, you go to work and they know that we're not friends, we don't know each other. You just tell them that I was
on my own with my friend. Yes, with my friend. And he was driving the motorcycle, not me. He was driving the Vespa, and I was sitting behind him, like driving on for my sweet life. But then we were going a little too fast, and then we went over a speed bump. Yeah, we went over a speed bump pretty fast, and I fell backwards. And tomorrow, when the two puffs of weed wear off, I'm going to go to the hospital. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. And he agrees with me, and then we leave my friend's apartment. We go back to the hotel, and we make it to the hotel, and he helps me basically get however we can to my bedroom because I cannot walk anymore. And he sits me on my bed in the hotel. And now, this is a man that I basically met that morning for the first time in my life. But before he leaves my room, there is one more thing that I need from him. And so I just look at him, and I go, "Before you go, can you help me take off my pants? I can't do it on my own." And as he reluctantly starts taking off my pants, I just whisper in his ear, "Well, guess we're going to have to lie about this too now, right?" He didn't find it so funny. So the next morning I get up and I make my way to the hospital in a taxi. It's the horrible ordeal, just dragging myself on the floor to the top car. And when I get to the hospital, I find out that I broke my collarbone, two ribs, and I cracked the head of the femur where it connects to the hip. Being the Man of Steel is clearly not the third thing that I have in common with Superman. It's not at all. And then I learned that the U.S. has an opioid crisis for a really good reason, because the doctor gives me these painkillers, these amazing painkillers that I would have never gotten in my country. They're so expensive. You know what I would have gotten in my country? Free healthcare. But here I get these, you know, expensive pills. And they're so good that they give me enough energy to wake up every morning and walk the 7 blocks between the hotel and the office, work for 8 hours straight, network to get a job in the US and maybe move here, keep up the lie about the accident, and then walk the 7 blocks back to the hotel, get a slice of pizza, and then plumb it on the bed only to wake up and do it all again the next day for the rest of the week. And it worked. We won the account, and my bosses back home said that they got a call saying that I did a great job. Well, we did a great job, the MTV guy too. And then I got cocky, because clearly maybe I can lie. Maybe I'm not that much like Superman in that sense, and maybe I will get a job in the US because I did such a good job networking and then showing myself. And time goes by, and I don't get a call, I don't get anything, but I'm still very cocky. And then one day, the guys in my team just is like tired of my arrogance. He just tells me, "Listen, shut the fuck up, I'm tired of you. You know what happened? Everyone knows about your accident. The night that the accident happened, when you went back to the hotel and the guy left you in your room, he went back to his room and he called the VP of the company and he told him all the truth about what happened. Say goodbye to getting a job in the US now. You're lucky you didn't get fired. MTV sold me out. I thought taking off my pants built an unbreakable bond between us, but I guess I was wrong. And yes, I didn't get a job then. But many years later, I got a job offer from Los Angeles from an agency here where a friend of mine from Argentina was working, and he recommended me, so I got a job and I moved here because I may not be an MTV, but at least I have friends. And the visa that they gave me to live in this country is the O-1 visa. That's the talent visa that they give artists. And the legal definition of that visa is alien with extraordinary abilities. And that is the third thing that I have in common with Superman.
That's it. That's our episode. Something that I didn't tell in this version of the story, and that people many times have asked me, and that's why I ended up including it in newer versions of the story, is that is what happened with the motorcycle, what happened with the Vespa and the BMW after the accident, like what happened. And here's the thing, here's the truth. I have no idea. At the moment of the accident, I couldn't care less. I was in shock. I wasn't thinking about that. And my friend later, when I asked the first time, told me to not worry about it, that he had it covered. And I never bothered to ask ever again. So I think it was fine. Otherwise, I think I'd know. I don't talk to that friend anymore, but I guess. I don't know. You can watch the video of this story on our YouTube channel, and you can find information about future shows and how to pitch your own story on our website, itsfunnynowstorytelling.com. And you can find a new episode of the podcast every Monday on all podcast streaming platforms. On the next episode, we have Sean Ewart with his story, Jerry's Mustache.
So I get in his car, and it's like Mr. Toad's wild ride to his house. We are slipping, we are sliding, there's snow, I'm laughing like a little too much. And like, finally we come to a snowbank outside his house, and we just come crashing into this rollicking snowbank. And he lives with his mother.
Thanks for listening, and remember, tragedy plus time, it's funny now. See you next time.